Welcome, it's Zach from Power of the Pulse. Today's show didn't go exactly as planned. I'm just putting in this recording so that you know exactly what happened. So, because of the weird noises and the problems that Tony's had as well on top of that, getting into the Podbean app, me and Tony agreed that Tony would start today's live show on Podbean, and then we'll go from there. And he also had this idea where he would record the whole podcast on another platform, and that way, if there are any weird noises or interference on Podbean, then he'll have the recording from his end that he can put up later. Now, unfortunately, what happened is that for whatever reason, he couldn't actually host the Podbean podcast, and therefore we were 20 minutes late, and he said, "You do it." So I did, and then of course he didn't want to join on there, and he had this idea that we could run the podcast off of two platforms at the same time, and that didn't work. So today was just really a lot of debugging and testing, and Tony was entirely fine with that. So that's what we did. But about an hour in, I mean, everyone was incredibly patient today in the live chat in the live room. So again, thank you everyone for being so patient and understanding, and apologies again once more for the inconvenience. Now, what I did an hour in is I said, "All right, this clearly isn't going anywhere." So I had some content prepared from the previous show that we never got into. So I started playing a clip of Tony from 2018 and 2019, talking about it, answering some questions. So I have an hour that I'm going to upload here. It's not a perfect, it's not the usual production quality, if you'd like to use those words, of the podcast. I'm reading from the live chat. We're talking about different things. There's some distractions, but there is some information. And if you're interested, you can listen to that. Now, I have relevant links in the description, and I've been talking about in this show and last show a presentation that I was preparing for regarding activated charcoal and all the different elements there, and proving why you may not actually want to put that inside of your body. So if you're interested in that, I posted that on my Podbean. So I will leave a link in the description, powerofthepulse.podbean.com. It's half an hour. I did my best to keep it short, and you can check that out if you're interested. And then I have all the references so you can go prove this to anyone you need to, or go down the rabbit hole yourself, whatever.
Now, also, some people were asking if there was a newsletter that they could join to receive updates about Tony's shows and when they're going to be, and any relevant updates with whatever Tony's doing, if he's going to be switching platforms, whatever. And I know we were all, or a lot of us were part of Tony's old email list, but I believe that he lost access to it when he lost access to his independent at yahoo.com email. And that's why we haven't been receiving any emails from him with the show notes as we used to. So I created a page on my website, powerofthepulse.com/tony-email-list. You can go sign up. This is an email list just exclusively for Tony updates. And when the time comes, I will hand over the email list to him. To do whatever he needs to do with if he wants to use it. So if you want updates on what Tony's going to be up to, when his shows are going to be, all of that stuff, then hit the link in the show notes, powerofthepulse.com/tony-email-list. Put in your email. It's just like a very simple form. All you do is put your email, hit submit, and that's it.
So thanks for listening. Apologies for any inconvenience, and all the best. So, if anyone's listening, let's just play a clip from 2018 and 2019. Let me at least try and give you a little bit of value for your time. So this is Tony from 2018 and 2019.
that I found interesting. Shungite is a form of C60, so I'm not really an advocate of Shungite, but she was using it to create a...
So Shungite is this black goo. notice the words there, black goo. It's a carbon that comes out of rocks, and it is very heavily contaminated with heavy metals. And so each Shungite brand will tell you, oh no, because we are the cleanest and we don't have any contamination. And this, you could look it up, and it's like Shungite is it's another miracle cure, right?
A barrier to block frequencies, which carbon will do that. Carbon will disperse frequencies, but they've got to go somewhere. It doesn't just take them and collect them. It actually.
So this is a point with Organite and that kind of thing, especially if you're wearing any of it.
Transfer them.
Oops. But if you're wearing these EMF necklaces or pendants or bracelets on your body, what you could be doing is concentrating the frequency, let's say away from your head and onto your chest or onto your wrist. So you want to be very careful with all of these like magical stones that they propagate for EMF protection.
That I found interesting. Shungite is a form of C60, so I'm not really an advocate of Shungite, but she was using it to create a barrier to block frequencies, which carbon will do that. Carbon will disperse frequencies, but they've got to go somewhere. It doesn't just take them and collect them. It actually can transfer them. But she was using another material, which it called oolite. And so I looked it up, and she said, she told me it was like a grounding material. And sure enough, it is. It has a kind of a calcite or whatever, and it literally deadens magnetic fields. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? You know, and this was a native person, you know, who studies in her own way on things that, you know, for protection and health and guidance. So we had a good conversation, and it gave me another venue to look at regarding to protect ourselves, because see, the nature of our attacks today is going to be in regard to our DNA, our genetic code. Okay, there's going to be a remnant of us left behind for whatever.
And just remember that when we talk about this, any toxicity has the capacity to damage your genetics. Now, of course, when we talk about nano, more dangerous frequencies, they have a greater capability. But if you look at the heavy metals in the injectables, you know, the old vaccines, for example, that's what we have. Someone's asking, Tony's in Twitter, why can't we hear him? It's probably because he muted himself in that StreamYard room. Anyways,
you know, I don't buy into the whole philosophical thing of a rapture. I don't. When we're looking at the nature of the attack today, Blue Beam Project I talked about is already here. They're hitting us with Blue Beam, CFL lights, the your cell phone, technology in general, pads, iPads, monitors, all Blue Beam technology, Blu-ray television, Blu-ray movies. Why a Blu-ray? Why do we need a ray of light? So some of you may have already looked up the term Li-Fi, you know, on the research. Some of you may have looked up, see here. Anyway, if you look up the term Li-Fi, they show you some interesting aspects of it in regard
using light for digital communication.
How you're in a room and how frequencies and signals can transfer from your lights.
So if you look up visible light communications, I think, do this with me if you can. Visible light communications, and you go to images, and you can see some of the diagrams and images basically you're talking about, you know, an Internet of Things kind of scenario where your LED lamp is talking with your phone, is talking with your computer or your laptop or your printer or whatever through light, through the LED bulbs. And they can modulate, you know, digital signals, zeros and ones, through the light.
These LED lights are not for our benefit. Everything that they're doing today, everything that's being done today in the name of progress, science, whatever you want to call it, is all being designed to monitor the gerbil in his cage. In other words, when you're walking down the street, you got Wi-Fi or Li-Fi with the lights, monitoring where you're walking, where you're going. In your house, you've got Li-Fi. You know, your LED lights, your CFL lights, your fluorescent lights can monitor and track you in your own home. Why do we need this technology? Why do I need to be tracked in my own home? Why do I need to be tracked on the streets? Why is it that the instruments of this technology are provoking the crime to institute the reason for this technology? You know, why is that happening? That's the questions you should be asking, you know. And the questions you should also be asking is, how do I prepare? How do I protect myself? I had a couple of people call me in the last 2 days, and I've been telling them, if you are in a second floor, apartment building, unit, whatever, and there's nothing above you, you're it. You have absolutely no protection whatsoever from any frequencies coming down the pipe. None. Zero. Okay. And when you're laying in your bed or sleeping on your couch or doing whatever, and you're in your house or apartment or whatever, and you're on the second floor, you are getting a full-on hit. Your cells are exploding. The fluids are being leaked out. Damage is being done to you on a cellular level. Your mitochondria starts to break down and so forth. And then your brain starts to go, because guess what your brain's made out of? Fat cells. And what do fats do? They hold water. What does water do? It's a conduit for conductivity of electrical impulses from cell to cell. Can't communicate, can't function, can't think, can't analyze, can't interpret. And that, I think this is the problem going on with so many of you. Hey everybody, welcome to another...
So then this is 2019.
Another day in paradise in Tony's show. Sorry about the delay. I got kind of busy over the weekend, and normally I would have the show out Saturday, but then I started looking at the show and it started growing and growing and growing and growing, and then I've had people send me stuff all over the place, and I decided that, okay, I will put out so much of the data now and so much of the data in the next show, because again, there's quite a bit. The more we look at things sometimes, and sometimes the more we've seen something, sometimes they come back. There's a, you know, sometimes you look at something 5-10 years ago, and you've looked at it, and you've done the research on it, but at that time, the research was limited. And sometimes that research will come back again. This time with a lot more in-depth information, a lot more has been looked at and seen. And the interesting thing is, a lot of times going through your other research, like I look at a lot of things with nano, and I'm calling it now nanobio programming, because that's what it is nanotechnology integrated with DNA that's running on a program.
DNA and biology in general, and your general biology, biomolecules, your cells, your organs, you know, whether you go from the very, very small genetic level or to the macro scale and you look at organs.
Program. So for short, I'm just calling it nanobio programming, because that's what's going on. In order to stop the effect of the poisoning, you have to shut off the program. That's the big key here, shutting off the program and then removing the particulates that are involved in the programming, either the bots, the fullerenes, the dendrimers, the quantum dots, you know, multi-walled carbon nanotubes, single-walled carbon nanotubes.
So the difference, you know, if anyone tries to you know, a lot of these gurus, especially, they try and or the acolytes and the you know the loyal worshippers of the big gurus, they'll throw around these big words: multi-walled carbon nanotubes, single-walled carbon nanotubes. And so, if you don't know this, you can, you know, the meanings of these words, you can just get really easily fooled. It's very simple. A single-walled carbon nanotube is one tube of carbon atoms in the nanoscale, and you can have them with a width that's very small, like 3 nanometers, or you can have a much bigger width. A multi-walled carbon nanotube is not some complex, crazy thing. All it is a nanotube inside of another nanotube. So that's what a multi-walled carbon nanotube is. And what they're used for, they can be used for drug delivery, they can be used to, you apply them with certain chemicals and then they can react to their environment. And you can build very basic logic gates, very, very basic logic gates that react to certain conditions. And so that's, again, a little thing that they'll throw around: multi-walled carbon nanotubes. Yeah, it's just nanotubes inside of each other.
And the list goes on and on and on. And you have to remove a lot of the debris or the materials in the body that have been broken down by this technology. It's a process, and it's a tedious process. There is no simple solution here because of the nature of where it goes and how it assaults and what it changes. And we're talking things on a molecular level, we're talking things on the cellular level, we're talking things on a genetic and DNA level. We're talking basically something assaulting the very fundamental operating system of our bodies, the DNA and the genetic code, the chromosome codes, and so forth and so on, the mitochondria, ATP, etc.
You see, your DNA is just a few nanometers wide. It's supposed to be, if you know what they told us is true about that, about DNA in the cell. So if you look at that, your smaller nano is going to, and this is entirely proven, and C60 is one of these nanomaterials that binds to your DNA. Now, what happens when you have something toxic that binds to your DNA, or something even not toxic that binds to your DNA, holds on, doesn't let go, and then covers things up, interferes with the repair process of the DNA, that interferes with the replication or the cell splitting, the replication for when in the cell cycle the cell turns into two daughter cells. That's oops, I just accidentally hit. Okay, wow. Yeah, okay, so what I did now is I hit the...
Did I found Sorry. Interesting?
Okay, today really is a comedy of errors, everybody. Now I'm going to have to go. And you see, when I play these videos, I can't control the time. It has to play from start to finish. So right now what I did is I accidentally hit the intro. I hit another track. So now... That means now that this really is not. Now I have to go and figure out. Okay, let me replay him. I guess you guys today, you don't mind re-listening to that.
Did I found interesting?
And then I'll see if I can get it cut in the middle.
Did I found interesting? Shungite is a form of C60, so I'm not really an advocate of Shungite, but she was using it to create a barrier to block frequencies, which carbon will do that. Carbon will disperse frequencies. But they've got to go somewhere. It doesn't just take them and collect them. It actually can transfer them. But she was using another material, what it called oolite. And so I looked it up, and she said basically, she told me it was like a grounding material. And sure enough, it is. It has a kind of a calcite or whatever, and it literally deadens magnetic fields. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? You know, and this was a native person, you know, who studies in her own way on things that, you know, for protection and health and guidance. So we had a good conversation, and I was It gave me another venue to look at regarding to protect ourselves. Because, see, the nature of our attacks today is going to be in regard to our DNA, our genetic code, okay? There's going to be a remnant of us left behind for whatever. You know, I don't buy into the whole philosophical thing of a rapture. I don't. When we're looking at the nature of the attack today, Blue Beam Project I talked about is already here. They're hitting us with Blue Beam, CFL lights, the your cell phone, technology in general, pads, iPads, monitors, all Blue Beam technology, Blu-ray television, Blu-ray movies. Why a Blu-ray? Why do we need a ray of light? So some of you may have already looked up the term Li-Fi, you know, on the research. Some of you may have looked up, see here. Anyway, if you look up the term Li-Fi, they show you some interesting...
Okay, here we go.
Going through your other research, like I look at a lot of things with nano, and I'm calling it now nanobio programming, because that's what it is. It's nanotechnology integrated with DNA that's running on a program. So for short, I'm just calling it nanobio programming, because that's what's going on. In order to stop the effect of the poisoning, you have to shut off the program. That's the big key here, shutting off the program and then removing the particulates that are involved in the...
And I know Tony uses that word a lot, and it kind of leaves the definition up to your imagination. But if you're actually interested in at least what I think, my views on that and what it actually means, what the nano program actually means, I made a video on my channel a while back. Talking about the so-called nano program. Let me find that. It's an 8-minute talk. That's why I'm not going to go into it now. But yeah, it talks about the so-called synthetic operating system of nano
programming, either the bots, the fullerenes, the dendrimers, the quantum dots, you know, multi-walled carbon nanotubes, single-walled carbon nanotubes. And the list goes on and on and on. And you have to remove a lot of the debris or the materials in the body that have been broken down by this technology. It's a process, and it's a tedious process. There is no simple solution here because of the nature of where it goes and how it assaults and what it changes. And we're talking things on a molecular level. We're talking things on the cellular level. We're talking things on a genetic and DNA level. We're talking basically something assaulting the very fundamental operating system of our bodies, the DNA and the genetic code, the chromosome codes, and so forth and so forth, the mitochondria, ATP, etc. So when we're talking all these things, we're talking about it's not some superficial removal of metal. You know, when they talk about you got heavy metal poisoning, we're not talking heavy metal poisoning in the sense of you got a big piece of metal in your body and it's heavy and you got a lot of it.
Heavy metal.
We're talking about clusters and clusters, thousands and thousands of clusters on a cellular level that cells have been saturated with and then now has been being altered either through a program or an integration of the nanoparticulates themselves. And this is just with us. Now let's take a look at the environment. Let's take a look at old terra firma, you know, Earth, you know, the final frontier. And when we look at the Earth and look at the things that are going on in the Earth with the transgenetics, the mutagenetics, the genetic abominations that they're creating in the food supply, and how it's altering the very foundation and fundamental biology of both men and women when they consume these things, and this goes as well through anything that anybody is eating. Whether it be insects, whether it be birds, whether it be, you know, livestock, whether it be wild game, doesn't matter. It affects everything and it affects everybody. And when we're talking nanobionics, basically nanotechnology integrated with biology on a plant level, on the soil level. And a lot of things we're doing today in regarding organics and other food type growths, if it's grown outdoors and it's been exposed to any kind of nano bioprogramming, it has altered the complexity of the biology that makes the plant what it does. And it doesn't matter what you eat, doesn't matter what you drink, doesn't matter what you're consuming, what you're wearing, if it's been in contact with this programming, this nanobio programming, it has been changed. The products we're consuming today, the products that we're wearing today, the hygienic products that we're using, deodorants, colognes, perfumes, pads, tampons, gels, creams, lotions, if those products are plant-based, because this is the big thing today, right? We're going to make everything green. Green, it's going to be green. Yeah, we're going to, it's all natural. But now you're going to have to define what that means. What does natural mean? Are we talking the natural products that I consumed 50 years ago that weren't exposed to the nanobionics? Or are we talking natural today in regarding to an integrated, genetically altered, genetically mutated, nano-integrated material? I mean, how do you get something out that has been integrated into the very core of the plant's genetic code? How do you remove that?
See, no zeolite or nano-silver can save any organism from that. No vitamin C can save any organism from that. Of course, nano-silver and zeolite are just going to add to the load.
How do you remove something that's gone inside of a plant, altered its genome structure, altered its programming, altered its proteins, altered its hormones, and has changed the dynamics of that plant?
And if you play with the genetics, you could be playing with anything, any element. You could be, as Tony's saying, changing the proteins because you change the genetic code that is transferred into mRNA that is sent to the ribosome. So you could be playing around with the proteins. And in fact, according to mainstream science, the COVID jab, actually, the mRNA in it results in weird, unknown proteins. Actually, I never talked about this on the show here, but it's supposedly producing something else other than the spike protein. Of course, this could also be damage, general genetic damage. It doesn't have to be precision so-called gene editing. But yeah, you can another element to think about there.
What happens when you consume it? What is transpiring on a genetic level with you? What's transpiring on a cellular level with you? What's transpiring in the mitochondria? What's transpiring in the ATP production?
Well, the mitochondria, the part of your cell that produces energy, is being absolutely obliterated by nanomaterials. They will damage it. They will change its the potential, it will change the energy of the energy signature of the organelle of the mitochondria, and it will impair energy production. So now your cell can't power itself. And maybe on a macro scale, this can translate to constantly feeling tired because you're not producing enough ATP to power yourself.
You know, it's in your RNA. You know, this is how you have to think today. When you're watching some of these goofy-ass gurus that are running around and still perpetrating some kind of organic, you have to think, you know, today, seriously, you got to think, that is this goof just sell me a bunch of bunk to keep me sick? You know, are they, if they're not dealing with this aspect of your health, if they're not dealing with this perspective of your health,
and that's for all the traditional naturopaths and herbalists all of these natural remedy people, is that more and more, as we're loaded up with more metallic nanomaterials and plastic nanomaterials constantly, and we're exposed more and more and damaged more and more by frequency, these natural remedies and systems, supplements, and their traditional remedies and ways of dealing or maintaining health or dealing with ailments or sickness, all of these solutions and remedies are slowly going to become less and less and less and less effective. Because now you're dealing with something that cannot be interfaced with using natural remedies. And what you're dealing with is, as Tony would say, symptomology. You're dealing with the symptoms. You're dealing with the, for example, the oxidative stress that the nano caused, rather than dealing with the nano. So the nano is still inside your cells, or the 2.4 gigahertz is still damaging your cells. And you're just giving your, and as Tony said, you know, you're giving your body, you're doing your best to help your body recover, but at some point it's too much and your body can't, your body's being damaged faster than it can recover. So what do you do then? Well, you need to deal with the actual root cause, and the natural remedies and your vitamin C isn't actually going to do that. And so what you're going to see more and more is that these things just don't work like they used to. You take supplements, it doesn't work like they used to. You start eating clean, it doesn't work like you used to. I mean, the food itself, it is nothing like it used to be, especially for the older people here.
And they're not doing anything for your health, and all they're doing is selling.
Right, exactly, Vicky. And then you will need more and more and more, especially as you have an accumulation process. You have an accumulation process. So also the amount of damage is just compounding in your cells.
You junk. So
hey, Nina, please don't be sorry for being grumpy about this at all. Personally, I'm sure Tony would disagree with me, but personally, I think it's entirely within your right to feel grumpy about this. It's 2:40 a.m. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. All the best. And thanks for being this patient with us. what do I say? Thank you. Thank you for your support. Oh, it's Nina. Nina, because you capitalized the second N, I never knew what that was. Okay.
All new products have probably been laced or manipulated with the genetics or the nanobio programming. And now you're consuming them in the perspective that you think you're buying something that has value and is going to help you with your health and so forth and so on. And you have to really think, when these guys are selling you these things, what's in these ingredients? Where did the capsule come from? Okay, a lot of the capsules are coming from a pine leftover. And when they harvest the pine, they take that pine fiber, and they mix it in the encapsulation or when they're making the caplets or hard shelled carriers for these supplements. You have to take a look at that. What is hypercross-carmelose made out of? What does it do when it gets in the body? Does it even break down? What does microcrystalline cellulose do today? Does it even break down? See, they're talking about carbon nanotubes today, whether they be multi-walled or single-walled carbon nanotubes, and the abbreviation for multi-walled carbon nanotubes is MWCT, or single-walled carbon nanotubes is...
Yeah, so you'll see... carbon nanotubes is abbreviated with CNT, and then you add SWCNT or MWCNT for multi-walled or single-walled. You know, also, fun fact, you also have something called nano onions. So Remember how a multi-walled carbon nanotube is simply just carbon nanotubes inside of each other? Well, if you think about a fullerene, right, your a ball of carbon atoms like C60 or C70 or C125, you can also put these inside of each other. So you have nano onions, which are carbon fullerenes inside of each other. There are actually some incredible different carbon nanostructures that not a lot of people talk about. So the famous ones are the carbon nanotubes, C60, or if you want to, I mean, the structure itself is called a fullerene or a buckyball or a Buckminster fullerene, because the dude that invented or found them supposedly was called Buckminster Fuller. And you have graphene, of course, your sheets of carbon atoms. But there's also carbon nanocones, so like an ice cream cone. You also have carbon nanopeapods. So a carbon nanopeapod is a carbon nanotube. That's like the pod. And then the peas inside of the carbon nanotube are your fullerenes, your balls, which are the peas. So again, incredible applications with this kind of technology, and incredible molecular manipulation, atomic, like manipulating things so precisely at the atomic level, where you just put, where you put these fullerenes inside of the tube. Okay, yeah, it was always kicking me out, or no one in the link Zach gave. Huh. I don't know. I told Tony that we can try this. I can try streaming it from Rumble next time. Here's the thing. It's like, with all of this, Tony wants a very easy platform to use. I don't think he wants to spend the time to understand. And like, rightfully so. I'm not saying anything about that. Like, rightfully so. But he just prefer like a very easy platform. And the problem is that when you, like, with web platforms, especially the ones with free plans, you're going to be very limited. And so over there he was using, why not Discord? Again, so, I mean, I'm surprised this room actually is advocating for Discord. Again, we can use Discord. I can recommend that to him. But again, it's just another platform. I don't know. Yeah, Discord is a bit much for some. I mean, if you use it on the phone, it can be hard to navigate the interface. I mean, I used to be a Discord expert. I built a lot of stuff on there, and I avoid it totally now, because it feels like such a satanic, manipulative, addictive platform. But it works. You know, if you guys are familiar with stages. So instead of having a voice call on Discord, you can have a stage. So you can have an audience and people that attend. The thing is, for me, it's just... Listen, I don't know. Again, I don't want to comment too much with my personal opinions. I will relay the message that we can use Discord to Tony. Again, this is not my platform. I don't have any... it's up to Tony. I need it to work with it. Discord will work on your iPhone, if you're okay with downloading more spyware. or you can use it on your computer. You can use it off a browser. There's a desktop app. I mean, from that aspect, Discord is good. And you can use it off your phone. You may need to watch like a tutorial on how to navigate Discord on your phone. That will be worth it just to understand how to switch between servers and then channels within your server. A server is a group in Discord. Anyways.
SW, was it single-walled? Yeah, CT. Okay. When you're looking at these components, they're equating the carbon nano, that would include C60 and everything else, equivalent to asbestos.
So when I was preparing for this this material last show. We were going to play this last show, and then Tony joined in, and then so we of course we focused on him. But I actually prepared some material. Let me see if I still have it. Because carbon nanotubes, the toxicity of carbon nanotubes, has been linked incredibly closely with the toxicity of asbestos, and we all know how disastrous asbestos was and how it's all banned now. But carbon nanotubes are not banned when literally they're, if you look in some of these papers, measure by measure, like characteristic by characteristic, toxicological assessment by toxicological assessment, carbon nanotubes are as toxic or more toxic than asbestos.
Now, we know the silica and the asbestos can translocate through the body and allocate itself somewhere else and then start to accumulate or agglomerate and then assemble. And carbons do the same thing. And what's interesting thing about carbon is a collector of shit, literally. Carbon will bind to anything toxic and can then magnify the effect of the toxicity it has integrated with. See, it makes sense how God designed the tree. We breathe out carbon. The carbon now collects all the pollution that it comes in contact with. Then the tree breathes in that polluted material, filters it out, and releases oxygen. It's ingenious when you sit there and understand that. The ingenuity of the idea, the concept of carbon collecting shit, the trees collect it, store it, and then release the oxygen so that it filters out the oxygen in the earth. Then you got Brazil burning down the rainforest. How stupid. And now they're going to plant genetically modified corn where they burnt down the trees.
Okay, Vicky's asking at what time is Saturday going to be on. I have no clue, Vicky. I'm sorry. I have no clue what Tony's planning. Or what will work. I mean, listen, before all of this, Fiona was going to interview Tony on Saturday, and I wasn't even notified of this. I literally found out by accident. And you know, this was supposed to happen last Saturday, so it was pushed back a week, and I wasn't even told about that. So I would have just started the show normally, and then they would have come on and said, "Oh, well, Fiona's interviewing Tony. What are you doing here?" I'm like, "Oh, well, no one told me this." Like, so I do not know. I do not know. I'm sorry. You know, for me, it is what it is. It is what it is. We'll just go with it, and do whatever we can. I think I might. I have a Podbean platform myself, so the presentation on activated charcoal, I think I might just live stream that on my own Podbean. I don't know what to do about this, but I will do my best to keep everyone in touch. So what we can do is, I'll make sure to post on the Liberty. I haven't been checking that much, but I'll make sure to post any updates on the Liberty chat, and I'll also put any updates in the show notes of the last show. So if you go to independence.podbean.com, I'll put like an announcement there or something if anyone wants to check. So yeah, I'm reading the chat now. Thanks everyone. Thanks Waldo, Deb, Jar Jar, Susie, CCWC, Vicky. Thanks everyone for your support. I really appreciate that. Right, yeah. You're right. In the past, sometimes I did it at 6 p.m. Eastern time on Saturday instead of, you know, usually on Saturday we do it at 3 p.m. Eastern time. Yeah. Last time I did it at 3 p.m., I believe. And if I were to run the show now, I would start it at 3 p.m. Eastern time. But yeah, don't know. don't know. I'll have to speak with Tony, see what he's planning. Can someone please update me why you must have just joined. So Tony was supposed to run today's show, actually, but for some reason something bugged up. He couldn't do it. We were 20 minutes late, so he told me to start it. And then his ID was me to run it off of Podbean and him to run it off of StreamYard and have a recording there, because he didn't want to join the podcast off of his phone and call in. Because of, you know, he was experiencing bugs, and then when it finally worked, there was the typing and all of that stuff. Good night, Jar Jar. So yeah. Do you have an email you could put? Sure. Yeah. I do have an email list. I'm currently not sending out any emails at all. But I probably should. If you guys want, I can create a specific link just if you're interested in updates for Tony. And then when Tony takes over, I can hand over that list to him as well, because he has his own list that he lost. I think he lost access to that when he lost control of his independent@yahoo.com email. So yeah, okay. So what I'll do is I'll post a show, like an episode, maybe an empty episode or something. And I'll in the show notes there, I'll put an explanation of what's been going on. So maybe in a few hours after the show, check independs.podbean.com or on just the phone app, and you'll see an episode where you can go and read the notes there. Thank you. You have the patience of a saint. That's the nicest thing I've heard today. Thank you. Thank you, Naylan. yes, I will put an update on Liberty. Substack, I don't know. Tony might put an update on his Substack. Yeah. Any questions there? Anything else? So yeah, what happened is that then Tony was trying to record the thing off StreamYard so that we didn't get any weird background noises or anything, and he didn't have to call in from his Podbean application on his phone. But then, of course, his audio wouldn't be transmitted to Podbean here. So then he tried to move everyone to StreamYard, and then StreamYard didn't work out. A lot of people were either couldn't move or were reluctant about it, or there was a bug and it didn't work. So then we tried streaming on Twitter, and that worked, but no one really joined. Only a few people joined, so I don't know, it is what it is. All right, there's 18 minutes left to the live show before Podbean cuts us off. Would you guys like us to continue? Would you like me to continue Tony's clip and discussing that? Okay, cool.
This is all the vegans' fault. These bloody stupid people.
Oh, so that's the end. That's the end of the clip. I cut it off at Tony calling. Apologies to any of our members who are vegans or, you know, living the plant-based diet. Which is, I wouldn't call them stupid, but you know, they're I'd say they're misguided. You know, I'll actually tell a story. So there's a lady that contacted Tony, and since she was in Australia, Tony referred her to me, so I helped her build her own triangle, I think. Hello, if you're listening to this, by the way. Yeah, no, Tony isn't a fan of being vegan. And so she and her husband, I won't go into the details, but she and her husband had been suffering low energy for maybe 10 years or something. And her husband had some, like, unheard of ailments and issues. Like, unheard of. He had a chronic fever for 4 years, and the fever just wouldn't subside, wouldn't stop. Or at least that's my understanding of what she was talking about. And so they started using the triangle, and she said, well, after we use the triangle, you know, I get, like, I feel more energetic, but it only lasts a little bit. And so she was trying to contact everyone in the community. She like emailed everyone in the group. She even dug up Brian. She looked for everyone and talked to everyone. And she was telling me that, you know, she believes that they were overseas at one point and they were like hit with some, I think like she said, weather modification. And so because things just didn't make sense, she was going deeper and deeper and deeper into thinking about like complex nanosynthetic biology takeover, weaponized bacteria, this, that, applications. And she was really thinking like, maybe my husband got hit with this, maybe my husband got hit with that. Why isn't the anti-nano triangle working, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then, so I'm corresponding with her over many weeks. I spent hours talking to this lady over emails. And so I'm just slowly, I start digging and asking questions. What supplements do you take? Blah, blah, blah. What have you tried? What's working? What's not working? What have you, and then I get to, what have you eaten? What have you eaten? Oh my. And she tells me, oh, well, for the last 20 years, you see, 20 years ago, we took a test, you know, a blood type test, and we're following the eat right for your blood type diet. Okay, so what's that? What are you eating? Oh, plant-based diet. We haven't eaten meat or eggs in 20 years. 20 years. But it's you know, supposed to be right for our blood type. And I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, this is it. You are focusing on this, like, this really complex, you know, synthetic takeover or this weaponized nanotechnology and blah, blah, blah. But you haven't eaten animal product in 20 years. And the thing is here, the whole eat right for your blood type thing, that's been disproven. That's very old science now. And so 20 years, and this lady's like focusing on more and more complex things instead of just going back to the basics and looking at what do you put inside of your mouth or what don't you put inside of your mouth. Because of course, without the animal product, she has much less fats. So hormonal product, I mean, cholesterol, dealing with inflammation, brain function is going to be starved. Certain B vitamins, B12, for example, iron, zinc. She's going to be deficient in all of these. And you can take all the supplements you want. I mean, you can speak to any vegan. I'd like to meet a single vegan in the Western world that isn't on supplements. But you can actually speak to any of these people. And you look at it because supplements... You can take supplements and they're great, but in animal product, the zinc, the selenium, the whatever it is broken down and it can be better or more easily digested and utilized by your body. So it's a more potent form. And 20 years, and then she's wondering why she doesn't have energy. And this is the funny part of the story. So I took my time. I wrote a big email. I attached some resources from the Western A. Price Foundation that talks about the importance of animal product and this man's research that he did on all the traditional cultures and how, you know, and how they're all, because he was trying to figure out how they're all healthy and how they all have beautiful teeth and strong jaws. And one of the things he found is that no matter the traditional culture, they have some kind of animal product. Or some kind, I mean, some of the animal products are really weird. I think one of the tribes he found somewhere were like drinking seal blood or something like really weird. But that is even crazier when I say it out loud. But he talks about, and you know, you can find, I might link this. There's a whole bunch of resources about how animal product is so necessary. Your meat, your eggs, raw milk, as Vicky says. French loves his bone broth and tallow. Beautiful. So that's for anyone listening. That's French, the guy in the chat room, not the French people. We, the French people, love the... We eat frogs all day. Do they eat frogs? I don't know. And so I compiled all of this and I sent it to her and I said, you know what, I know that, you know, you're looking at something very complex, but remember to go back to the basics and look at what you're eating, you know. That might be the whole problem, right? You're complaining about suffering energy. I mean, there are vegans that have almost died because their system just simply couldn't handle the malnutrition. There are a lot of people. I think there's David Wolf. I think he has a story on that. There's a guy on YouTube called Sunfruit Dan. You can see his story about not surviving on veganism or the so-called plant-based diet. Exactly, I eat eggs every day. Beautiful. And there will be people that will function better with less animal product, but to exclude animal product and say, oh, I get my fats from olives and avocados, for my Australian listeners, avocados, it's outrageous. Of course you're going to be experiencing lack of energy or a multitude of horrible symptoms. So we can always look at the, you know, the technology of today. But we also need to look back and think to the basics. What am I putting in my food? What am I putting in my mouth? What am I swallowing? What am I putting on my skin? What am I touching daily? What am I smelling daily? So yeah, that's my story about plant-based diets. Raw milk, homegrown eggers. Nice. Yeah, if you have your own chicken, then you just have those eggs raw. Beautiful. All right. Do you guys have any questions? Anything you'd like me to talk about? We have 9 minutes left. I have a few articles we can discuss. Zach, is there plant-based gelatin we should stay away from? Plant-based gelatin? I've never heard of that. Plant-based gelatin. I use, what's it called? Bovine gelatin. Oh, wow. Cornstarch and agar, an algae-based product found in the seaweed section, have both been successfully replicated these tricky textures. Like gelatin, both cornstarch and agar are activated when combined with a hot liquid. Vegetarian gelatin substitutes. Xanthan gum. Okay. I would just stick with your your beef gelatin. I thought we were going to play that voice clip of Tony speaking. Yeah, it was 12 minutes, and turns out I'd already played 11 minutes and 59 seconds. So what you heard is just the last bit of him swearing at vegans, and that's it. So if you want, you can go back to the recording. Good luck with that. Wading through the chaos in today's recording, but you can go to maybe an hour, 30 minutes, and check that out. Yeah, Deb, I sent you an email, or two emails actually today. Apologies for not getting back sooner. I've just been really busy. But yes, I am. Okay, actually, I will talk about something. So today I wanted to talk about this with Tony. You see, I got a comment on my Rumble, and I'd like to cover both aspects or both sides of this. And thanks to the commenter, if you're listening to this, I'm pretty sure she's a lady. Yes, hello, and thanks for the comment. If you listen to Tony's podcast or you're listening to this, but she said, hello, have you looked into this? It's a nano superconductor, stronger than graphene and more flexible, made of boron. A lot of people use borax I'm not sure if it's a form of boron, or if it contains a lot of boron. Okay, borax is a combination of boron, sodium, and oxygen. Okay, so it's, I guess you can say it's a form of boron. But it appears to be a really bad idea. Here are a few things I've found navigating the mine minefield. So she sent me something called borophene, which is just like graphene, or theoretically like graphene, a sheet. They call them 2D materials because they're supposed to be only one atom thick. Of boron instead of graphene. And so she's saying that boron isn't a good idea because of that. So again, thanks for sending me those links. There are two aspects I'd like to cover that there. The first is, oh my, here we go. Okay, the first aspect is that just because you have a nanomaterial, you're looking at nano copper or nano zinc, doesn't mean the macro scale, the regular size zinc is bad. When you look at zinc oxide, the regular or any type of zinc, the regular size is great. And you take it to the nanoscale, and the properties change, and it becomes very, very toxic. You can look at the toxicity of nano zinc oxide; it's absolutely terrible. And on the other hand, we're all probably, or at one point, have taken zinc supplements. Now, the other aspect here is that borax. I don't know who did this, but they say some people say, according to some interview, and this is, get out your BS radar here, because they say that some people say that borax is the one thing that can stop nanobots self-assembly and self-replication. Borax, just take borax, and it's amazing. It will stop all the nanobots. And it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hit source? No. Reference? No. Logic here? No. It's just, there's literally an image that's just moved around through the entire internet. And it's absolutely ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. It displays absolutely no understanding of nanobiology. So, right, Vicky's asking, and this is the obvious question here, is boron or borax bad? And I was hoping to get this from Tony's mouth. But they will tell you that borax is very bad. Do you know how much borax you need to take for it to become toxic? If you look at the lethal dose 50 for borax, a male rat needs to take 5,400 milligrams per kilogram, and a female rat needs to take 5,000 milligrams per kilogram. So you need to take a ridiculous amount for it to be toxic. Now, on the other hand, and I'm not here sitting, oh, safe and effective dose. If you come over here, boron is a trace element that is naturally present in many foods and available as a dietary supplement. You know what boron does? It can literally absorb radiation. It may be beneficial or have beneficial effects on such functions as reproduction and development, calcium metabolism for your bones, bone formation, brain function, insulin and energy substrate metabolism, immunity and the function of steroid hormones, including vitamin D. Some limited data suggests that boron deficiency may affect brain function by reducing mental alertness and impairing executive brain function. So this is a salt that you know, one of the four or five salts that Tony recommends. And personally, every other day or every other water bottle, I just put a tiny pinch of borax in my water. Works great. I personally haven't had any problems with it. Epsom salt, if I've tried putting a pinch of Epsom salt, very small pinch of Epsom salt in my water, that one doesn't go so well with me. I don't know what it is. I haven't had good reactions with that, and I've verified that multiple times. But boron, and I'm not saying that borax is going to, you know, save you from nanobots, whatever that is, you ask people. Anyone, little tip here, anyone that tells you about nanorobots, tell them, oh, so what are the robots made out of? How are they delivered to you? What materials? And they'll tell you graphene. Oh, graphene, so it's only graphene? And what's the purpose? How do they work? How are they powered? You start asking these people, you know, these people that want to present themselves as, you know, oh, nanorobots. And I get it, you know, if we're talking about biosensors or drug delivery or nano actuators or all sorts of other kinds of nanomachines. I mean, when they injected people and they started emitting Bluetooth signals, I'd say there's a network interface inside of people. There's like a nano machine inside of them. But yeah, these people, just you can just challenge them a little bit. If someone ever sends you, oh, borax will prevent self-replication, you can ask them, oh, so how is the self-replication initiated, and how does the borax inhibit the self-replication? And listen to them stutter. All right, thanks everybody. The Podbean warning has come up, so we're going to be terminated in about 100 seconds. Conclusion, in my opinion, borax is great, just because, you know, they took boron and they made a nanomaterial that is that can be used in all sorts of applications. Doesn't mean that your regular borax is bad. Just as with zinc, lately I've been taking magnesium citrate with borax and Epsom salts before bedtime. Okay, nice. Yeah, thanks. I mean, massive thank you to everybody. We have 20 people in the live chat. A lot of you just stuck through the hallway. So thank you. Thank you so much. I mean, you guys are incredible. Okay, and let's play Tony's outro now.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Tony Pantelaresco's show.
Nano.
Oh, Ganadum. He just explained. He just went through the whole explanation there about how everything's fine.